The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
And welcome to Wicked Anime Podcast. How is everybody doing today? I am apparently one of the guests of the show, Mr. King Baby Duck from the Boston Bastard Brigade, because apparently none of the other guys here wanted to introduce the show for some odd apparent reason.
Too tired.
You're going from like British to Australian to Russian. Back to Boston.
This is like
all over the place.
Introduction
with today.
World tour.
It is Introduction World Tour.
But the only stop we're making today is Japan. Oh, And now it's come full circle. I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan, and with me is a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew. And then we also have our MC, Dylan, who is not our MC today because he didn't introduce nobody.
No.
What?
I don't even know what MC stands for.
Master of Ceremonies.
Master Cracker. That's what Glitch would call me.
And then he would hate you for it. Hey guys, we're all really tired on this episode because we came back from a concert last night, but it wasn't just a concert, it was a festival. So we were there all day in the hot sun. We're pretty,
We drove 2.5 hours.
Two and a half hours each way, and we went to go see Five Iron Frenzy. Yeah, Five Iron Frenzy, our favorite band. And guess what? They followed us on Twitter.
Woo!
Yesterday. So that's cool. Go say hi to Five Iron Frenzy on our Twitter. For some reason. I don't know why you would do that, but...
I don't think you know how Twitter works.
Dude, nobody knows how Twitter works. They just, like, hashtag crap and, like, say, at this person.
Hey, actually, that's a pretty firm understanding of how Twitter works.
I wonder if this person is taken.
What?
This person
as taken? As a Twitter name.
This person?
Yeah.
Let's find out who this person is.
I think Twitter, it's time to read the news, Bill.
Wait, I'm interested in finding out who this person is.
Okay, we'll wait on the news.
Is Dylan typing it in?
Yeah, I did type it in. But results for this person, some photos.
He's a web assistant at some college and has a cactus named Mr. Prickly. And he's from the UK.
That sounds like a very UK thing to do.
And apparently his last tweet was, "Get me off this train now!"
So there you go, guys. Tweet at this person.
Wow.
And tell him that it's because of Wicked Anime.
Yeah. We're going to make him so famous with our 26 followers.
One of them is Five Iron Frenzy.
I don't think so, because I don't really think anyone's going to listen this far in.
I don't think so either. I would have already shut off the podcast.
But they'll take the time to comment anyway. So anyway, guys, here's the News Bell news.
Cool.
All right, so first up in the media news that we have, something simple but pretty cool. Hey, there are JoJo's Bizarre Adventure hoodies coming out. They're like those like full-body hoodies, the ones that you can zip up all the way, and they're of like the stands, which is cool. They're coming out with a Star Platinum, a Hierophant Green, and a Silver Chariot.
You're welcome.
Yeah, Evan sent that to me, but actually, so did Keto. Our fan Keto sent that to us as well. So we got that bombarded with that because everybody knows that Wicked Anime likes JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Surprise!
And if you don't know, now you know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe.
That is the most pathetic G.I. Joe call I've ever
heard. G.I. Joe.
Whatever.
It's on their off day.
Okay, guys. Another cool thing that that popped up, which you guys probably have heard of by now, but you're hearing for the first time in 2 weeks late on Wicked Anime Podcast, was the Ghost in the Shell Arise English voice cast for OVAs 1 and 2 were announced.
Do they have the original cast?
They do not. But Mary Elizabeth McGlynn is a different character.
That's really strange.
So, weird.
Yeah, so they have Elizabeth Maxwell playing Makoto Kutsunagi, and Mary Elizabeth McGlynn playing Kurutsu. Christopher Sabat is playing Bando, and Richard Epcar is not in the voice cast at all.
Bato?
Did I say Bando?
I thought it was Bato, too.
It is Bato.
Bando? Yeah,
it's Bato. Bando's from Elfin Lied. I'm sorry.
Bando sounds like a something you use to stick something together.
It is. It's actually a cosplay piece, just so you know. It's like heated plastic that you can mold.
But Bando is a character.
He's a hot glue gun? Bless you.
All right.
This is great.
But how can it be Bato if it's not Richard Epcar? He's always been Bato.
Yeah, well, I think the point is that they're all supposed to be younger characters. I don't know how much younger, but I know Kutsunagi is pretty young. This is like when she first became a robot, or is it before she became a robot, or not a robot, a cyborg?
You know, I gotta be honest. I know absolutely nothing about her eyes. And even if I did at one point, it's been so long since we have reported on anything Ghost in the Shell or eyes that I have completely forgotten everything.
So there are synopsises here on this story, but I'm not gonna read them just because we're just talking about the voice actors. Other voices include Eric Vale, Alex Organ, Bill Jenkins, David Wald, Jad Saxon, Brian Mathis, and Chris Rager, which, believe it or not, I'm not really familiar with those voices.
No.
Except for Eric Vale.
Yeah, the only one that I was familiar with was Eric Vale, and he hasn't done anything in a while, at least not that I'm aware of, because he's usually behind the mic, behind the...
Camera?
Yeah.
Yeah, the camera.
So to speak. He's on the soundboard.
He's behind the paper, the drawing.
He's behind it all.
So that's some pretty cool news that we are actually getting Arise, because I actually, believe it or not, refrained from downloading Arise. I didn't really want to get into the illegal downloading of that one for some reason. I mean, I don't illegal download anyway. I have Crunchyroll, so if it's not on Crunchyroll, I usually don't end up watching it. Because Funimation, I'm sorry Funimation, but your video player is crap. I can't watch anything on Funimation.
That's why I watch all their stuff on Hulu Plus.
That is true. And if you guys want, by the way, if you guys want your Sailor Moon, that's actually free. I was actually going to include this as a news story, but we might as well watch it. All of Sailor Moon, the re-releases are being shown free on Hulu Plus now, or Hulu. I don't even know if you need Plus.
No, you don't need Plus.
Yeah, so you can watch the redubs of Sailor Moon.
That is sweet.
Yeah, it is the redubs, right?
No, so far it's just the subtitled versions, the original versions. But then I think they're going to add the dub versions later on.
So this news story kind of pops up in the middle of like a media news, but more of a strange news. So I'm not really sure where to kind of put it because it's just kind of odd. But South Korea built a cheering section, three rows cheering section of robots
for a baseball game
that cheer at a baseball game. So, that's kind of weird. You have a cheering section of robots cheering for your baseball team. But here's the weird thing.
Forever alone baseball team.
So here's the weird thing, though. Each robot has a TV face, which means that people watching the baseball game from home and cheering on from home can go online, scan their face in, and have their faces projected on the robots, and whatever they're cheering can be held up in the hands of these robots in the cheering section.
On an LCD screen.
On an LCD screen that will that'll portray what they're cheering.
That's kind of awesome, though.
Yeah, that's why robot cheering section, that's kind of a sad thing to cheer for a baseball team. But that's kind of what the strange news is. But the actual media news portion of it is that these are actual fans making these robots work.
Yeah, and you can actually make them, like, you can make all the robots do the wave.
Yeah, the robots will do the wave.
But I think that's kind of cool. I mean, well, I would think it would be funny if, like, you could actually, if you're projecting from, like, your face from the robot, and you got a camera, like, seeing what the robot can see, so, like, you're actually sitting in the seat, and that, like, that's all you can see from your computer.
That would be
great for, like, the
Oculus. What if you had really crappy seats?
Yeah.
Well,
like the robot nosebleeds.
Well, and then yeah, there's like one robot up in the.
He's behind like a pillar holding the stadium up.
Yeah, you got a pillar section. It's an obstructed view.
Well, and no, it's like that episode of Rocco's Modern Life where they have the two seats, but they're all the way on the top of the scoreboard.
Yeah, but the only problem with if you could see the view from the robot is when they hold up the signs to like cheer, it blocks the other robot.
So just be sure you get a front row robot.
Yeah, front row robots.
Front robot.
Boom. This is South Korea, right?
This is South Korea.
Yeah.
North Korea cheering section is different.
Like, could you imagine, like, a North Korean cheering section? Yay, Kim Jong-un!
Go, Kim Jong-un!
And they all just look like Kim Jong-un.
Yeah. Well, that's what the perfect person looks like, Evan. So, obviously, they're all fat robots. Like...
We're gonna start World War III on this podcast.
Actually,
right now.
That's right. They're all made of like muscle, like deep muscle. Like, oh no, 0% body fat looks just like Kim Jong Un.
Deep muscle.
Deep muscle.
Like deep muscle.
Like even their like bone muscles are like ripped.
Deep bone muscles.
Bone muscles. That's how human anatomy works, right? Bone muscles.
Yeah.
It's well, if it's deep.
Drink your milk, folks. You make your bone muscles strong.
Get that deep bone muscle.
Get deep bone muscle.
This is...
Get all up in that marrow.
I think I found a title for our hentai episode.
Getting deep bone.
Deep bone muscle.
Deep bone muscle.
So what were the other news stories that you found, Jonathan? I forget.
Oh yeah, okay. So I got a couple of news stories that were from earlier this week. One of which being that there was an announcement that a new Digimon series is going to be starting up.
Yep.
And it's actually going to be a continuation of the old series where all the characters are now in high school, which is awesome.
Took them long enough.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, whatever. But. That's what I have to say about that. All right, Dylan?
I would have thought they would at least have a GED by now.
No, they spent too much time playing with their Digimon and saving the world.
Yeah, Digimoning and saving the world.
Yeah, that they didn't have time for no school.
They're actually 20 years old but still in high school because they were Digimoning.
Right.
Yeah.
Then also there's going to be Blu-ray box releases of the original series as well. And then, of course, one of the more important stories that's probably going to lead into a discussion later on today is the kind of announcement-scare that we got from Studio Ghibli earlier this week. If you remember, Facebook exploded with this news...
Yeah.
story that they said that Studio Ghibli was shutting down.
Now, guys... If you haven't thought about it a little bit, this really, really, really deteriorates the authenticity of online journalism. Because that just means one news story posted this, and then another news story stole that news story and did not do their own research. This includes Kotaku, because Kotaku was one of the people who posted this first, and then they reposted a thing later saying, oh wait, no they're not. I mean, in the age of internet... journalism. It's really, really scary to think that people are just taking, like, seeing somebody else post a news story, and then a more famous one takes that story and posts it, and then the internet explodes. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, because I mean, like, heck, we even did it too, but we just kind of.
But we just share. Yeah. We just share the news. Right. We don't.
You just share misinformation,
yes.
So you're not accountable.
No. Well, it's
we
but
share
it,
the
we're
news,
news
and, but make sure we don't say, "Oh, we have an exclusive."
Well, yeah,
it's not really an exclusive,
right? Because we're not a news network.
Yeah, we just share what we find, and that's just it. If I don't know, I've always had a problem with internet journalism because people think that just because they're on the internet, they can be journalists and be unprofessional. Like, because you're seeing like journal entries popping up everywhere where they use curse words and. Improper grammar and all these kinds of things that make you just sound so stupid while talking about the news, yet people are eating it up and it's dumb. I hate internet journalism, but it's so popular now, and stuff like this happens where misinformation just explodes.
Yeah. So back onto the topic of the story, which when the producer announced that Studio Ghibli was shutting down. There was a misinterpretation of
or mistranslation, I guess you could say, saying that they were just quote-unquote taking a break. Now, even though they said that they were just taking a break, they're still completely dismantling their entire animation studio, which is still really concerning because what they have is a good thing. But, I mean, what are they going to do? Do they just want to stop paying their employees for a while or what? I don't know. Because what they're doing is they're just going to be maintaining their assets and their licensing for now. And the producer himself is just going to solely keep track of all of their assets.
It was kind
of
like...
What was the last movie they made?
Windrise. No, When Marnie Was There.
When Marnie was when there.
What? Who's Marty?
Marnie. That's the one they just released.
Yeah, I know. They had, like, just released one. Like,
and then there's also the TV series that Goro Miyazaki is doing, too, that they're helping out with.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Well, I guess there is another point. It kind of can be a news story on its own, but kind of also in the way that it's going to bring it back, that Miyazaki wants to work on an anime. Who knows if he'll want to do that in Ghibli? I assume he would want to use Studio Ghibli to do it. But, you know, we all know he's retired from filmmaking. That doesn't necessarily mean he's retired from everything else, as we thought. Right. I mean, people assume that he was going to try to retire from everything, but he's been saying that for years. But he wants to say he wants to do an anime TV show.
Well, I know that he's might be planning another short film for the Ghibli Museum, but if he were to do a TV show, I think... Because I know that he's been wanting to revisit Nausicaä and expand the manga that he wrote into the full story. So he could probably do that.
I would love to see Nausicaä return.
Yeah, it was one of my favorites. Just to extinguish this whole story is that Studio Ghibli is not officially shutting down.
Yeah, it's not shutting down.
Although, they're taking a break.
Yeah, although I am deeply concerned about when they say that they are dismantling their animation studio. Granted, I mean, like, animators always come and go. And if you, it's like what you being hired at Disney. If you can animate really well, you're going to be hired there. But I mean, like, are they going to bring back their original people once they decide they're not dismantled anymore, or what? I don't know.
Maybe I can get a job there.
Yeah, maybe you can go to Japan and you work for Studio Ghibli.
I mean, I can 3D animate better than half of Japan. So.
Well, there you go. The gauntlet has been thrown.
Yeah. Hey, you know it's true. You've seen those CG messes that they make. Anyway.
They're CG messes.
So
look what you did.
So we're gonna revisit Studio Ghibli in a little while, but that is it for media news, I believe.
I think
what
so.
What if that news story changes before 2 weeks go by?
Yeah, then.
Then we're out of luck.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Well, I mean, if you think about it. It's kind of like when, this is a weird example, because I know they're an older band.
Oh,
like
here we go.
When System of a Down said that they were going on hiatus, and then they never came back. Like, what if that's what Studio Ghibli's doing, is they're going on hiatus, they're dismantling the studio, and they just never come back? Because that could be a possibility.
Somewhat. I mean, System of a Down are still touring together and everything, so...
When? In their basements? Come on.
Okay, so let's move on to some strange news.
Yeah, because we don't have any gaming news this week, other than I finally beat Monster Hunter 3U, which... Woo! Monster Hunter!
And, and I got back into Pokemon.
Yeah, Jonathan. Yeah! Jonathan got back into Pokemon.
Which Pokemon?
Why?
Because he didn't have time to beat it, so now he's gonna...
I'm gonna try to get back.
He's gonna attempt to...
But now I gotta edit this mess, so I'm back off of Pokemon again.
He's on hiatus.
Yeah.
So anyway, the strange news that we found is some of it's pretty good. So apparently, Japan likes to put collagen in their food because it's good. It's supposedly good for your skin. Now there is at this time there's no real scientific backing for that. They just kind of believe it. So a lot of food that they have just has collagen mixed into it, which is cool because apparently it's not harmful. So as long as it's not harmful, like, you know, us like shoving MSGs and all these sodiums and sugars into our food, then that's fine. But there's a restaurant. Let me find the name of the restaurant.
Afro Cafe.
Afro Cafe.
Oh, Taco Bell.
Oh, it doesn't say. It just says Tokyo Yakitori Restaurant. So there's a Tokyo Yakitori Restaurant that's making... yakitori is a dish that's served hot on a skewer. That's not good for hot summer days. So what they did was they took yakitori and made yakitori-sicles surrounded by a chilled gelatin collagen.
Yeah.
So these are like collagen popsicles with yakitori in the middle of them.
What's yakitori?
It's weird.
Yakitori is like chicken balls, like chicken meatballs, sometimes pork cheeks,
mm-hmm.
Really juicy and moist. That's the basics of what they are.
So you freeze it.
You don't freeze it, you chill it. It's a gelatin. So Jell-O. Like, think Jell-O, but collagen.
So, but what is the flavor of collagen?
I don't know. I kind of don't want to, like, really find out.
No, I don't. No. Collagen is the stuff you inject in your lips to make,
yeah,
make your lips look disgusting, right?
Yeah, so, like, people who want to, like, destroy their bodies and faces and, like, inject stuff into their bodies.
It's apparently very, very abundant in animals. It's the main structural protein of various connective tissues in animals and makes up 25 to 35% of the whole body protein content.
But what does it taste like, Dylan?
I don't know. I'll see if Wikipedia has anything to say about that.
So while you're looking that up, yes, imagine a tall popsicle cube of gelatin meat protein, and in the middle, a meaty center.
That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, that sounds pretty unappetizing.
Like, I mean, but yeah, there's things that you can eat frozen. Like, I mean, we sell frozen foods here, like pre-cooked frozen foods. Like, there's nothing wrong with going to like a freezer section of a supermarket, taking out like one of those frozen chicken nuggets and eating it. It won't kill you, but it's really disgusting. So, and like, it's the same thing with this, except they're actually selling it, like marketing it to eat it frozen, and that just doesn't sound appetizing in the least, let alone surrounding it with stuff that we use for cosmetics here in America.
Can you imagine taking a bite out of, like, I don't know. I don't even know. I can't even imagine what it would taste like.
Probably just not good. Like, I'm just going to leave it at not good.
If we ever end up doing that documentary, going to Japan,
we have to eat one. Yeah, we have to eat collagen. Find, like, hey, where can we get some collagen?
No, like, one of these. Like, get one of these.
Yakitori collagen.
Yeah, get the waki... Yeah.
Wait. Listen to where the name comes from, the Greek word kala, meaning glue, and gin, meaning producing.
Producing glue?
Glue producing.
Okay.
Oh.
So maybe it's like Bondo.
Find the story.
So it's like Bondo.
It's like Bondo. Yeah.
And
what's college? Who's collagen voice actor?
Chris Sabat.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, okay.
Chris Sabato.
Send them this new story to show them what it looks like.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, let's get it. Yeah, let's find our reactions to whether we would eat it or not.
All right. Well, we put it in our mouth. What the hell? It looks like the stuff that the mosquito was frozen in Jurassic Park.
I hope Bill Cosby does some ads for these.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of your yakitori pop?
And finally, moving on to the last bit of strange news that we found.
That's the longest conversation I've ever had about collagen.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I know.
Is it a community collagen?
So another thing that's going on in strange news is this this coming August. So actually, by the time this podcast comes out,
it's possible that it might have already happened.
No. This event is happening on August 23rd.
Okay.
In Japan, in Ginza, which, if you know, that's one of the upscale areas of Japan altogether.
Okay.
Not just Tokyo. They are having a... Okay, let me make sure...
I am on the edge of my seat, Andrew.
Yeah.
I haven't really been listening, but go ahead.
A love doll exhibition. So, and we're not talking about, like, inflatable things. We're talking about...
like those real like life looking,
yeah, the customized silicone based love dolls that look like real people.
Oh, I saw a documentary about that. It starred Ryan Gosling.
What?
Lars and the Real Girl.
Yeah, Evan got it. Several people at home got it.
I didn't know Ryan Gosling was in that.
Yeah.
Is he the love doll?
Yeah.
No, he's the guy in love with the love doll.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway.
He's in love with the love doll.
No, he's extremely depressed in that movie.
Yeah, I know. I actually wanted to see that movie. So they're having an exhibition on these on people's, kind of like a car show. Think about it as a car show, but it's people's like,
you don't want to touch any of the
cars.
Were the
Booth Babes cars?
You don't want to go inside of these special things.
So, anyway, these love dolls are the most famous, probably in the world, because they're hyper-realistic. They use silicone base so that they feel like real skin. It's just creepy. They look like real people. But you can go onto their website. You can customize them from head to toe, including their innards.
What, can you, like, order a specific person's parts?
Yeah. You can... Well, not persons, but, like... I mean, maybe persons, yeah. I'm sure you can be like, I want to feel like
Scarlett Johansson down there.
Oh, boy.
Okay, this part of the conversation's over.
No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I'm not.
Go ahead.
You can edit it out.
Wink.
That wink was to me, Andrew. Don't pay attention to that.
Yep.
Actually, so that's about it.
There's not really much more you can go on with that.
You no longer want to talk about it.
So if you're in Japan, again, grab yourself a chilled yakitori collagen pop, and then
move on to silicone.
Yeah, and then go into silicone. And if you're over 18, go check out the love dolls because it's an 18 plus event. Surprise!
And then stop by a hospital in China for the self thing from the one episode.
I know what you're talking about, but if nobody heard that episode,
they are just completely confused. At what
he's talking about the sperm collectors in China, and then stop in South Korea and be a South Korean robot to cheer on a baseball team.
Sounds like a full
now
day.
Now, if you could combine all three together,
then we would have deep bone muscles. Oh, this is weird. That is as strange as it gets.
We almost forgot to say that.
Well, it's because it hadn't gotten that strange yet.
Yeah.
All right. So it's time to move on to what we're watching. I haven't been watching much other than the new shows that have already come out this season, and it's really good. I'm still really enjoying things like Akame ga Kill, Rail Wars, which is the surprising boob anime of the season, but it's also still really good. All that stuff, blah, blah, blah.
And I'm still watching Barakamon, which it continues to be my favorite of the season. Everybody watch Barakamon. And I checked out Tokyo ESP. It was cool. It was okay. It wasn't great. But I only watched the first episode, and I have the next couple episodes to watch. I'm still trying to catch up on Tokyo Ghoul. I just haven't had time. Everything you guys have heard before. Nothing new. What about you guys? Have you guys been watching anything?
I actually still Sword Art Online. I've only gotten to like episode 4 because Crunchyroll's player stopped working for me. Then I have to figure that out.
That's a drag.
But so yeah, it's one of those weird plug-in things. But
anything developed with Sword Art Online? I'm really interested to find out
anything
what's going
new?
On with it.
No, I mean he's in the gun game now. The weirdest thing so far, which isn't as weird as I thought it would be, is his character or his avatar in the game is a female this time.
And I thought
that like it would lead to like a weird situation down the line where he didn't tell anyone he was an actual guy, but like he does immediately. So I was like, oh, there goes that weird tension. So
yeah.
I don't know
do they do that to make it like weird Yuri moments?
No, that's the thing. I thought they were gonna go that route, but they didn't because he immediately was like, oh yeah, I'm a dude.
Yeah, but even still, it doesn't mean that like the person that he meets in the game though can't be like crushing on him.
I suppose. But I don't know. It seems like that girl may have another love interest. I don't know. I'm still only, four episodes in.
Because that's what I'm thinking is, like, now that she knows he's a guy, like, it doesn't matter to her, like, what the avatar looks like as long as he's a guy, then they can just make weird Yuri fan service moments.
Yeah, because Asuna is still in the game, right?
She's still, like, in the show, but she's not in the Gun Gale game. I don't know if she's going to enter it or what.
Right. But, she probably was going to be like this big explosion thing. And it's like, oh, snap, there comes Asuna. And she's got guns and she's shooting
Asuna
things.
To rescue.
It would be interesting if she had to save Kirito this time around.
Yeah, and then they'll make weird Yuri moments.
Well, because now Kirito can be tentacle raped instead of Asuna.
You heard
that's true. That's true.
His deep bone muscles. so I watched that. I still need to catch up on the latest two episodes, or by the time this comes out, it'll probably be like three or four. But I also tried finishing, or in the progress of finishing Full Metal Alchemist. Jeez. Yeah, that one, Brotherhood. Netflix. I never finished that, so.
Nice.
It's really good.
It is really good. I love Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
I did notice, which is a little weird and disappointing, is they don't have the final season on Netflix. They have all of them.
Yeah, which is a little odd. I had to, I watched it all on Netflix, and then I had to borrow the last season from Jonathan.
All right, so first of all, because of your recommendation, I started watching Barakamon, and it is funny.
Yeah, I love Barakamon. It's dude, so human.
Just the introduction, too, of the character Naru, and just him just keep throwing her out over and over again. It kind of had that whole Fresh Prince of Bel-Air vibe, where they would throw out DJ Jazzy Jeff.
Well,
it just kept getting funnier every time.
Well, it's funny how he was throwing out the
mayor too.
Yeah, the mayor or whatever he is to the town, but he kept showing up in the house too. But like everybody was using his house as like a clubhouse, and everybody always comes by.
Yeah.
It's just so charming. Like the characters are so good. How far did you get?
I just watched the most recent episode where he has to paint the name on the boat.
Okay, yeah. There's another episode after that.
Okay, it hasn't come up on Hulu yet.
Right,
I think Hulu
right.
is a week behind.
But the episode that was out last week was fantastic. Like it was. It's funny because it was a quote unquote beach episode, but it's not because it's not your typical anime. It's a slice of life human. Like it's everything feels so real in this show.
So when they go to the beach, it's literally about going.
Yeah,
to the
beach. They're literally taking. I mean, they're a short like an island town.
Yeah.
So like they go to the beach for fun. Like it's an actual beach, not like a beach episode.
All right. So as some of the listeners of Wicked Anime, who's also been listening to No Borders or Race, know, I've recently went and saw a play called Astro Boy in the God of Comics, and hopefully some of you New Englanders out there have gone and seen this play because it's incredible and one of the best shows I've ever seen in my life, and it's practically a new style of theater that no one's ever attempted before in the history of theater.
How so?
It's hard to explain because it's like they do live drawing on stage. How the lighting's done. They do some special effects and such. It's really weird. Even when I was doing a review of it on my show, I wasn't able to tell people the full experience because it's so hard to describe because there's nothing out there I can compare it to.
Interesting.
Like you could go see like a musical like Monty Python Spam. I was like, oh yes, it's parodying this, this, and this. Or you could say, oh, I just saw like Avenue Q. Oh, so it's like Sesame Street, but with you know puppets doing adult songs and stuff. But then when you go see Astro Boy and the God of Comics, you're like, I can't compare this to anything because there's nothing else that's like it. Because of watching Astro Boy and the God of Comics, I got more into wanting to watch the old shows again. So I've been going on to Netflix where they have the 2003 Astro Boy cartoon and onto the manga entertainment app on Sony TVs, and I think there's one on Xbox and such, and watching the 1960s Astro Boy.
Have you watched the animated movie that came out?
The 2009 one, I've been wanting to see it. It was on Netflix, but on the day that I was going to decide to watch it, they took it off.
It's actually very good.
Yeah, we actually saw it, and I really enjoyed it.
But I will make a point very soon to see it. So while watching, like, I've been watching the 2003 one mostly, and, you know, I've been watching the 1960 one sporadically, and I really began to notice how in the 2003 version, they kind of... It's a great show. It's fantastic. I love it. But they kind of lose the focus of how Astro Boy should be.
Right.
Like, in the original 1960 version, the way Osamu Tezuka envisioned Astro Boy, he's just a kid just trying to find acceptance in the world. And while people are saying, oh, I can't really trust you because you're a robot. And it's just him trying to, like, earn the love and respect of his peers and the people. It's just him as a little boy, but as a robot. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the 2003 version, I feel like they were trying to make Astro Boy cool.
Like a superhero. Like
like a superhero.
Like he was cheering at a baseball game.
And I feel like they kind of lost focus of how Astro Boy is supposed to be. Like, I feel like that the 2003 Astro Boy doesn't have the modesty that the 1960s, that the original Astro Boy had.
It's funny, now that you mention it all, this is, like, all reminiscent of when My Life as a Teenage Robot was on TV. You remember that show?
Yes. I loved My Life as a Teenage Robot because that was, like, the female equivalent of Astro Boy.
Yeah.
So then that moves on to our topic, doesn't it?
Yeah, which we were going to revisit some Studio Ghibli stuff.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking that I was hoping at least we could focus on, you know, some actually work that Studio Ghibli has done, maybe an idea of where the studio's going to go.
Yeah, with Studio Ghibli popping up so much in the media now, interestingly enough, I mean, you'd think that it would be more prevalent during when The Wind Rises was coming up, but no, now it's...
Yeah.
Now they're showing up more because of the whole shutdown scare, quote-unquote.
Which was making me wonder what was going to happen to the Studio Ghibli Museum, for starters.
Yeah, see, now there's a whole museum dedicated to Studio Ghibli. Now, if they go away, does that go away too?
I don't know, I wouldn't think so.
Well, I mean, in the same way that Disney World is owned by Disney, so if, like, Disney Studios were to shut down, would Disney World go away?
I wouldn't think so.
I don't think so. I think it would be a very dumb mistake on their part if they.
Yeah, it's a
to
completely different source of revenue for them.
Yeah. So anyway, we're going to talk about the Studio Ghibli films. Probably a little bit about the future of Studio Ghibli, like the previews that have shown up for the TV show, the new TV show that's coming out, Thief Girl. And daughter of the thief or something like that. I forget what it is.
So we're gonna have a really awesome discussion about that if you can't even remember what the name of it is.
Yeah,
it is Ronya the Robber's Daughter.
There you go.
Sadako no Musume Ronya.
That one. Yeah.
So let's start with classic Ghibli stuff. I think we've touched on this a little bit before.
We probably have. We probably mentioned it before.
But believe it or not, Jonathan and I didn't even check out Studio Ghibli until we were in college. So they've been around for obviously a long time, since before we were born, but we had never seen them.
We had heard the word about how good Studio Ghibli is, but never really got into it.
And
especially
because a lot of people from our generation, their first Ghibli film was Spirited Away.
Actually, I think that a lot more people would know My Neighbor Totoro. Because they watched it when they were little kids.
It's true. Totoro was pretty famous, and that was before the Disney redub.
Yeah.
And so, like, because Fox had Totoro first, but and it was apparently an awful dub. So when Disney redubbed it and re-released it, then that was great. But that's just it. I think a lot of people saw Spirited Away first because that was really the first.
That one was the first one to be released in theaters.
Yeah.
Right. First one?
No, Princess Mononoke was released in theaters.
I don't remember.
But when was that released in theaters?
Well, it came out in theaters in Japan in 97, and then it came out, I want to say, in 99 in the United States.
Yeah. So our generation was still kind of young at that time, and we were like 9 years old. Or 9 or 10 years old at the time. So a lot of us probably wouldn't have gone to see a PG-13 movie or...
Depends on how strict your parents are. We saw Men in Black when we were 7.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh.
I know, that was our first PG-13 movie ever. Yeah.
We're not even 13!
We're only half of that.
The first time I saw Spirited Away was in middle school.
Oh, they brought in the big box of TV and it was the day before vacation?
Yep. No, it was just art class.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
That's good art teacher.
You had a cool art teacher, man.
Eh,
did you?
I don't remember. I remember watching Spirited Away. I don't remember much of the art.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes your art teacher cool.
I don't know art. Here's a movie. Appreciate it. And now you're working the animation business, Dylan.
So I have seen very little of Spirited Away, which I'm not...
I haven't seen any of Spirited Away.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of it, like the beginning of it. I forget where I saw it, but
I own it. So next time you guys come over, you guys should.
I think we should
watch it.
I think we should.
I know. I've always wanted to see Spirited Away. I've seen every single one of them since then, and I've seen almost all of them beforehand. All the ones that have come out. Like I think the first one we saw was Princess Mononoke.
Yeah,
that was the first Ghibli film that we actually saw, and then I believe we saw Nausicaa second.
Yeah,
it was either Nausicaa or Totoro. I think we saw them both of them, because we saw them all at once. Like, yeah. when we realized, oh, hey, we haven't seen a lot of Ghibli.
Well,
films.
It was a friend of ours who intervened and sat us down and was like, here is Studio Ghibli.
Yeah, and then we, so when Ponyo came out in theaters, we went to go see Ponyo. Dylan, I believe we actually went to go see that with you, right?
Nope, that's incorrect. Zara Yeti.
And we did see Howl's Moving Castle.
Yeah.
So we've seen a good majority of all these films. And, of course, we saw The Wind Rises with Evan and Sarah.
Right.
And overall, I have to say my favorite Studio Ghibli film out of all those, it's kind of a tie between Princess Mononoke and Totoro, only because they're two completely different films. Like, one of them is kind of action-y and really sort of deeper in a sense, and where Totoro is like, wow, this is like one of the cutest things I've ever seen, you know?
And it was also in Bob's Burgers.
It was in Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
Did you guys see that episode of Bob's Burgers where Bob gets high off of the turkey basting stuff?
No. It wasn't the turkey basting stuff. It was like a semi-alcohol, but it was like a hallucinogenic alcohol that he's just drinking. Absinthe. There you go.
and a giant turkey comes up in the field and they grow the tree and they start doing the turkey. And then they're all sitting on the tree, and Bob, this is weird, right?
And then it was recently the Simpsons episode where they had all the characters from all of Ghibli's library all meeting up.
And now that I've said my favorite Studio Ghibli films or mentioned them, what ones have you guys loved from the past?
Well, I really like Nausicaa. I think that one's probably my favorite.
I would say my favorite's got to be Porco Rosso.
Oh, I always wanted to see that one. I haven't seen Porco Rosso.
Yeah, we haven't seen Porco Rosso either.
I just think, I feel like it's his most beautiful story. His take on with the war about to happen and with him turning into a pig because of a little bit of his selfish ways while he was an actual pilot in World War I. And some of the comedy in the film. Not to mention, I feel like that they chose like the perfect people to do the English dub for this movie. Like, they chose the folks that, if they were to do a live-action version of Porco Rosso, these would be the people to do it.
Yeah.
I think mine would have to be Spirited Away, just because I haven't seen that many. And I did really like Spirited Away.
So with the future of Studio Ghibli, with the new TV show coming out from Goro...
Is he doing that under a different studio?
No, it's Studio Ghibli.
It is Studio Ghibli.
One of the things that I saw that was really interesting is it all going to be 3D animated, or was that just the preview?
I think it's a mixture of 2D and 3D.
Yeah, because you did see that, right? That it was like the CG animated stuff?
Yeah, I saw it. It looks pretty good. I mean, for Japanese CGI, that is. Yeah. Better than most.
No, I agree. It's just weird because they're doing kind of that cel-shaded 3D where it looks... They're trying to keep it as a 2D look, but you can totally tell that it's 3D. And I think they're doing kind of what they did for the Berserk movies, which is kind of a weird thing to compare Studio Ghibli film to. 2D animated faces on top of 3D animated assets.
Is that what they did? I never even noticed that.
Yeah, sometimes they did do that.
Interesting.
When there was like a close shot of the face, it was 2D animated, but when it was like further away and they needed to just quickly animate something, it was a CG face.
Okay.
I guess it looks like it could be good, but unfortunately, Goro hasn't had a very good run in the past.
Yeah, he hasn't had a very good track record with the studio.
Tales of Mercy was, you know, their worst, but I do love From Up on Poppy Hill. I feel like From Up on Poppy Hill has been Ghibli's best film in the last 5 years.
Really?
I actually didn't see that one, but I do remember when Earthsea came out, and nobody went to go see it, and everybody said it was terrible. Like, it was... Not that it was terrible, but that it was boring.
Yeah.
So we'll have to just wait and see how he does with TV, because it's very possible that he does better with TV than he does with movies.
Yeah,
You see, the thing with me is I think he does so much better with Slice of Life than he does with Fantasy. That's why I felt From Up on Poppy Hill was such a great movie.
Right.
Because it was, you know, Ghibli doing another slice of life, but...
Keep them working
It was just so great. There's nothing much more I can say except go see it. I feel like it is Studio Ghibli's best film in the last 5 years. I'll even say it's even better than The Wind Rises.
It's better than Arrietty?
Mm-hmm. No. I'll say that too.
No. I gotta lay off Arrietty though, because I mean I did kind of like it. It just wasn't the greatest. It was
very beautifully animated.
Yeah, it was. That's pretty much the value of that movie is the animation. You know, the sense of scale that they created and the interesting. But it was kind of a hodgepodge of a story.
The only thing that I'm worried about TV is that the story is going to drag on for too long because you have a longer time to tell a story.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was thinking. Because if Earthsea was so boring because he was trying to tell too much in such a short amount of time, well, now he has a TV series where he has almost, you know, a budget of time of from a half hour to an hour of storytelling where he might not tell us anything at all within that time. I mean,
right. It's going to be like One Piece. Goro's Two Piece.
Is the daughter gonna stumble across the Straw Hat Pirates?
That would actually probably make for a better series. You'd certainly be more popular in Japan.
Yeah, that is for sure.
But I just don't understand where this TV series is coming from. If the studio's gonna be going on hiatus, I don't know. It's just something we're gonna have to wait on. Unless it's going to be produced by a different studio. Like, it's going to be produced by Studio Ghibli, but it's going to be animated by a different studio. Maybe that's how they're going
to
do it.
Maybe that's where they got the CG budget to do it.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
We'll just have to wait and see. But I think that's all we got for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's we really didn't have much for this Tapagotchi. I mean, we're all exhausted from the concert.
We just want to go away. We just want to stop talking for you guys.
Anyway, so...
You guys, I mean the audience.
Stop talking for you guys.
Freaking guys. Anyway, so we have some we have some fan service this week. Some pretty cool fan service. Our friend Ian, who sends us, It's Morphin Time. And, from episode 41, where we were discussing... what he was kind of talking about kind of ties into what we were talking about last episode, too. Do different forms of media influence the way you see other forms of media? Well, he's talking about the Power Ranger episode where he was talking about GoBusters. He has a Japanese wife and a half-Japanese daughter, so he is still trying to implement a little bit of Japanese to his daughter. She has recently gotten into GoBusters, or Sentai, and he's introducing her to GoBusters. And in GoBusters, during the transformation sequence, he says that they use the phrase, "It's morphing time," which is straight from Saban. But this is the Japanese studio. Now, lovingly, it's a robot voice that says, "It's morphin' time," and then they, in perfect English, say, "Let's morphing!" when he said it, talked to me about this, which was really cool, I was really happy to hear that this was something really great to send to us, just the fact that, hey, Saban made a kind of his own revolution with Sentai, created the whole "It's Morphing Time" line that got really famous, and now even Japan is using it, right? So I looked up the transformation sequence from GoBuster, and when they slide into the cockpit of their Zord, their Megazord, their giant robot, whatever it's called in GoBusters, it also says, "Let's driving."
Link into this
contest.
Which is just so perfect. Like, that is my favorite English of all time. Is the
let's morphing?
Yeah, let's something. Like, somebody needs to tell
them. Let's collagen.
Yeah. So that was really funny. Thanks, Ian, for saying that. That was one really informative and two really kind of funny.
Really kind of funny.
Yeah, it was. Really. Okay, so Big Bad Shadow Man from the Nerdy Show forums had also sent us something, where he did want to remind us we were in fact correct that each Godzilla movie has a different character, but there is one reoccurring character or one of the most reoccurring characters in a Godzilla film. Which is Miki Saigusa. who has been in multiple Godzilla films. And then from the other topic, he wanted to ask us a question where he said, has there been anything that we have seen that we have liked better than the original media? Because he likes Godzilla movies, but he actually likes the Godzilla comic books or Godzilla Rulers of Earth better than the Godzilla movies.
Yeah, I can say so. I think that I like something. There's a lot of animes that I've seen first, and then I've read the mangas to them. And there are definitely a lot of cases where I like the manga better. Like, well, High School of the Dead. But
Well, High School of the Dead, we do like the manga better.
But I think that I like the anime of Soul Eater better than I like the manga. Even though they are extremely close to one another, I think that the pacing of the show works as an anime, and I just really like it.
And what about for Fooly Cooly? What came out first?
The manga came out second.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, yes. No, the anime was standalone for that. But the manga for
Soul Eater,
it's great. It's really good, and it tells the story, you know, exactly how it should be told in the same way that the anime does. But when you see Bones animate Soul Eater, there's nothing that compares to the action that's in Soul Eater, especially when it's animated by Bones.
This is the answer that I gave him, was Kick-Ass. I actually liked the first movie, or at least aspects of the movie, better than I liked what was done in the comic books. And this is at least for the first movie.
That's interesting, because I didn't. I actually like the comic books through and through.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things that they did in the comic book that I definitely like better. But overall, I think the movie did the story better. For an anime thing, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
Yeah.
Because The Girl Who Leapt Through Time was a manga first, and it was also...
It was a book,
and it was also a book. Yeah. And the animated movie...
Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah, Mamoru Hosoda did that.
I can abide. Yep.
Completely stole my heart. As a part to the other sources of media.
I would say I like Trigun animated better than reading the manga. I felt like the manga version just dragged on way too long.
Manga version, though? The Maximum or the original?
The Maximum.
Yeah.
I felt like it dragged on for way too long, and I just really started to lose interest in Vash and Wolfwood and all the other characters. And then to, you know, watching the anime version, it flowed a lot faster, flowed a lot better, and I felt like you got to know the characters more so in the anime than you did in the manga. It felt like the manga left a little bit too much mystery to these characters than they did in the anime series. For something non-anime related, this may be a bit of a controversial choice, but I will say I enjoyed the movie version of Ender's Game more than I did the book.
See, well, I mean, that's not a bad choice. I mean, me personally, I've never read the book to Ender's Game, but I did see the movie and I was like, that's pretty cool. I thought it was pretty well done.
I seldom ever say the book was better. I think the only time I ever said the book was better was to Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
I think a lot of people will agree on that. And initially, I was gonna say Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but I like the movie as equal to the comic.
I disagree. I didn't like the movie, even though Edgar Wright did it.
Yeah,
I didn't like the movie at all.
Yeah, if they split it into two movies. They did book 1, 2, and 3 in the first movie, and then 4, 5, and 6 in the second movie.
Yeah, because they really, really rushed the second half. Like, the first half movie was done... The first half of the movie was done perfectly. The second half of the movie was, like...
A train wreck.
Yeah, the last three volumes done in a half hour. And I was like, nope, I that's ruined for me.
There's a part of me that hopes that they will come back to Scott Pilgrim, maybe do an animated series version of it.
Yeah, well, they did that thing on Adult Swim.
They did. I would actually like to see an anime company take on Scott Pilgrim more than an American one, to be honest with you. Unless it's the same guys who did, like, the Boondocks or something.
So our final bit of fan service comes from our buddy Gerardo. He hadn't been aware of any Guardians of the Galaxy material before the movie even came out. He didn't know that Guardians of the Galaxy was a thing for Marvel at all, which is fine. That happens a lot of the time. It's kind of made him seek it out. So now that the movie has come out, he wants to go find the Marvel original content, you know?
Which indeed happens a lot.
Yeah, that's a very normal thing to do. So that's cool. He should tell us whether or not it's as good as the movie or better than the movie, worse than the movie. That'd be kind of cool if you could let us know, man.
Have you seen the movie?
No, not yet. I really, really, really want to really badly.
I actually think I really liked it, but some of the people I saw it with weren't as enthused.
I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
For the first week of the movie being out, Rotten Tomatoes gave it 100%.
Mm.
Yeah, I actually, that's one of the first movies in a long time that I want to see again. I don't know if I'll be able to see it again in theaters, but even with Ninja Turtles coming out this week, I still would probably rather see Guardians of the Galaxy again.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's been begging me to go see it. So,
but I think the only thing I can really add to this conversation, I can't think of any instances with like Japanese entertainment where I've done that, but a lot of Cormac McCarthy's movies, he's a American author, and a lot of the films that have been adapted from his books have gotten me really into his writing. I saw No Country for Old Men and then went and read like several of his books afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And I really like both his books and the films that are based on them. I haven't seen The Counselor, which was a screenplay he wrote, but apparently that's really bad, so maybe I just won't see it.
Yeah, just leave it at.
There's no book it's based on. I think he was even quoted saying, like, he had two books going, and he's like, I should do something else. Then he wrote The Counselor, and now he's going back to his other two books.
So with that, Gerardo also wanted to mention that we were talking about our favorite Sailor Scout. His favorite Sailor Scout is also Sailor Mercury.
I have another one, Team Sailor Mercury.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so for some shameless plugs, guys, get ready because we have some new ones for you. So if you want to follow us on Facebook, we have facebook.com/wickedanime where you can find all our cool updates on what we're doing for videos, any cool news pieces we find around the net, and anything else that we just find cool. We have the podcast on thenerdyshow.com where we're at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime. If you're not listening to this podcast on iTunes, where you can please rate and review our podcast. And hey, you can find our podcast now on SoundCloud.com/WickedAnime, where
SoundCloud.com/WickedAnime. That's what you type in your address bar.
It is /.
SoundCloud.com/WickedAnime. There's probably some W's and some .coms.
I'm sure you know how the internet
just
works.
Some www dot.
Is that SoundCloud.gov?
We have a very small following on our SoundCloud so far, but it's getting there. Something else that's new to the social media family is our Twitter, where you can tweet at us at @YoWickedAnime. So tweet at us, yo.
I posted a picture of a really, really big wasp that was at work. It was the size of my thumb. I took a picture of the bee next to my thumb. It was dead, so I wasn't worried about it stinging me.
Yeah.
But I saw it when it was alive, and it sounded like an airplane. It was like, but you should see that picture. It's a really big bee.
Yeah, guys. With our Twitter, we're posting a lot of really stupid status updates, a lot of really stupid pictures, and a lot of really stupid hashtags. So follow us, because it's a lot of fun.
And yet you have four times as many followers as I do.
Yeah, I think one of the first tweets that I did personally was, go and get my tetanus shot updated, #hotanimenurse.
So if you guys want to follow us there, that's tweet at us at @YoWickedAnimeYo and follow us at @YoWickedAnime. Don't add that second yo. Just yo.
I was thinking, is that right?
It's just yo wicked anime.
.com.
Anyway, what am I forgetting? We have our regular show, yo.
Happened, Andrew? You were so good at this.
It's the new ones. They're throwing me off. I need to find the flow.
Need to drift with
#hashtag find the flow.
at youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can also find us at tumblr.com, wickedanime.tumblr.com, and finally email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com, where you can join our conversation. Please send us whatever you want.
Evan, go.
All right, let me show you how it's done.
No. I did it perfectly fine, Evan.
Watch him find the flow right here.
Okay. For the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa-sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com. You can follow me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com and on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Like us on Facebook on facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade. And do not forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues Program.
That was beautiful.
I think you
the flow was found.
I think you messed up once.
Oh, man. But I got to throw down here.
I think I might have said facebook.com/BostonBastardBrigade, not Bastard Brigade. I think I caught that one, too.
You just wanted to make it go more faster. That's all. It was, you had faster.
Gotta go fast.
Faster on the mind.
Gotta go fast.
Let's fast.
At least he didn't drop all his coins like you did. Or rings. All his rings. Oh. I was trying to make a Sonic reference, but who plays that game?
All right, guys. That is it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you in the next episode. It's time to sign off the only way we know how.
K-bye!
Yakitori pudding pop. Root D.
Root D.
Zip on dip.
I can't do the voice while I'm laughing there. You see me take the tin of pudding pop and do it on the sound of the faucet pudding.
This has just been reduced to a conversation of noises.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
It sounds like an old folks home right now.
That's what a conversation is. Just noises.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling friends, rating and reviewing on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. To find out how you and your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of the Wicked Anime Podcast, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home for authentic nerdy entertainment.
Okay, last one. I got this. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. We're glad to be your home. Okay, I'm just gonna separate that. Okay, so you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network's podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network's programs via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. Is that the same thing? Yeah. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. Yeah. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on your favorite social networks. That still doesn't sound right. I thought it. Okay. You can subscribe to. You can.